Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today in our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 17, which says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So as we're closing out this look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, dealing with the catching out of the members of the body of Christ, the event that's commonly referred to as the rapture of the church, the event that those who have put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, those who've put their trust in that fact are going to be part of this event. And where we left off last week in our episode was dealing with the issue of how individuals try to put a timing of when this event is going to occur. And we were talking about how Paul had lays out in his epistles, especially in the book of 2 Timothy, a number of events that are going to occur towards the end of this dispensation that will let us know that we are getting close to this happening. And one of the major texts that we're going to look at here, and let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And this is one of those passages that unfortunately every generation reads these verses and they start to think that it describes what's going on around them in the world. And what we're going to do is we're going to read the first 9 verses of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." And so as we read this passage, you know, and so many people will read this and say that all you have to do is turn on, you know, the nightly news, and you'll see all of these things going on. And so it means that we're in, as verse 1 says, the last days. Now, those last days, those are the last days of this dispensation. It's not the last days that you see in the book of Revelation, the fulfillment of the prophetic program. This is the last days of this dispensation. Paul's saying that this is what's going to go on. And yes, you can look at the news on a daily basis and you can see all of these things. But the reality of things is that all of what you read here has always described the things of man that run contrary to the things of God. All of the things of this world, what John describes in the book of 1 John in chapter number 2, and talks about how the things that are contrary to God, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of these things that are laid out in these verses are really those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It summarizes what is being described here. This is always what the world has been like. That's why every generation can read this passage and say that they think it describes them, and then turn around and go, well, it can't get any worse. And then the next generation comes along and says the exact same thing, and so on, as time goes by. And the reason why this happens is because what Paul is describing here is not what the world is going to look like, because that's always been the description of the world. Paul is giving the warning that this is what the local assembly is going to look like. That eventually, as individuals turn away from the truth of God's word rightly divided and get farther away from the doctrine that's been given to the Apostle Paul, that the local assembly will look like these things, to the point of where there will be no distinction between the local assembly, the individuals who have salvation, and the rest of the world that has rejected what God is doing during this dispensation. That's what the Apostle Paul is warning about. You know, that's why when you skip down to verse number 12 in this same chapter, when he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That there's a time coming when, and it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That all means that all the individuals that are standing for the truth of God's word for today, that all of them are going to face persecution. Now, in the preceding verse, Paul had just given the definition of what that was for Timothy, so that way he would understand it. He looks back to the book of Acts and shows how what was going on, and you see how those descriptions of what went on at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, how there was real dangers of physical harm. In fact, in one of those cities, he was actually stoned, and they threw him out of the city, believing he was dead. Today, individuals take that idea of persecution, especially here in the United States, where we have the freedom to be able to worship, to be able to proclaim this message, and we have a definition of persecution that is nowhere near what the Word of God actually calls it. We'll share the gospel with somebody and they'll call us a bad name because they're rejecting what's being said, and we'll turn around and talk about how we suffered persecution today because we were called a bad name. I think Paul would have loved to have had that be the only thing that he was having to face. Paul was truly in physical danger. Now, when there's a thing of physical danger, individuals have a choice that they're really going to have to make. You know, I can make the choice to continue doing what I was doing that put me at that risk, knowing that this is what's going to happen, or I can make the choice of, I don't want to suffer those things, and I'm going to turn around and walk away from the truth because I do not want to have to suffer that persecution. And unfortunately, the choice that so many individuals will make is that they'll reject the things of the truth, and that they'll give in, they'll stop teaching it, they'll stop proclaiming it, they'll stop standing for it, because it's easier for them to do that. And then as they stop doing that, eventually they're going to start looking like the things of this world. And that's why you have this warning that the Apostle Paul is giving here. You know, it's the thing that you see in chapter number 4 in verses 9 and 10, where Paul says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." And then in verse 11, he's talking about the remaining faithful when he says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, talking about bringing Mark is the thing of, Mark had rejected the things in the book of Acts because it had gotten to be tough for them, so he ran away. And obviously, at some point, Mark came back and was faithful. And Paul holds him up as that, yes, bring him, he's profitable, and shows that, yes, it is possible for somebody to come back. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people think that, you know, once somebody walks away from all this, that they're gone. Paul's showing that no, there is hope that somebody would come back. But in verse 10, you see how he's naming names of individuals. When he names Demas, he names Crescens, and he names Titus, as those that love this present world and that they departed. And when he's saying they departed, that they departed from the faith, departed from standing from the things that Paul was teaching, and by the fact that they're going unto Thessalonica, Galatia, and Dalmatia, would mean that those are places where if they're trying to get away from the truth of God's word rightly divided, that they would be going unto places where the majority of the individuals, if not everybody, has rejected those things, and that they wouldn't have to worry about somebody trying to pull them back into teaching and standing for these things and putting themselves in danger. They have a love for the present world, which means that Thessalonica, Galatia, and Dalmatia have, at the point that Paul's writing there, are just like the present world. And that's where, back in chapter 3, when he's naming all these things, it's talking about, you know, men being lovers of their own selves, and covetous, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, and all of those other things that he starts listing out in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. That is all part of this present world, the world that we know, that I'm going to read here in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 2, where it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That this present world is being controlled by the prince of the power of the air. That Satan has control over the things of this world, which is why the world can be described this way as it is in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And when Paul is saying all those things, you know, the good thing about the Apostle Paul is that he never actually leaves us in a situation to where we would have to say, okay, we're being warned about these things, but we have no idea what we're supposed to do. Paul always gives us the answer to the problem, so that way we can know exactly what it is that we should be doing to make sure that we're not falling into the trap that he says is there in chapter number 3. So when we get to chapter 4 of this epistle, and you know, this chapter 4, these are kind of the last parting words of the Apostle Paul here. When we start right at verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And these verses right here, this is what a member of the body of Christ needs to be focusing on. And you see those things in verse 2, when it's, and we'll read it again, when it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." That the focus of where you get all of those things comes from when Paul says, "Preach the word of God is what's going to provide the whole basis of where it will help someone to be instant in season and out of season. So when things are going good and when things are going bad, the focus can always be on the things of the word of God. And that's where Paul keeps directing individuals back to what it is that the word of God says, because it's the word of God which is going to produce faith in an individual. It's the word of God which is going to work inside of an individual to bring about that transformation, that renewing of the mind that is needed. It's the word that's going to build up that edifice of doctrine inside of us to be able to help us get through those good times and bad times, relying on the things of what it is that the word of God says. It's the word of God which is going to allow us to be able to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And that's why it says, with all long suffering and doctrine, knowing that it's not going to be easy to be doing these things. It's not going to be easy to share this message, to share the gospel message that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with this lost world, because the lost world keeps rejecting what it is that God has done for them. And this is something that you see, unfortunately, all the way through scriptures, is that man just continuously rejects the things that God does, and how it always comes back to pointing people back to what the Word says. You know, we know what our gospel is. We know we also have a reality of something. And we'll read here in the book of Ephesians again. And we'll go to chapter number 1 here in the book of Ephesians. We're going to read here verses 13 and 14 of the chapter. And it says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." And that reality of what the Apostle Paul is actually laying out here is the fact that we know that because we have put our trust in the gospel message for today, we know that we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit functions as the seal to keep us in the body of Christ. There's nothing that can be done that would break that seal. There's nothing that we could ever possibly do that could undo what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us today. And that's such good news. That's what brings about the hope that so many individuals need to understand, is the fact that, you know, once you have salvation, you have that guarantee. So much of Christianity today, unfortunately, has the issue of that they think that somehow they can keep losing it and coming back to what it is that, you know, well, I can lose my salvation and then somehow I can earn it back, and then I can lose it again and I can earn it back. The glorious things, we don't have to worry about that. And we know, as Paul says here, that it's guaranteed, as it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until he comes back for us. This event that we've been studying here for several months in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the catching out of the saints, that's this thing of when he's saying the redemption of the purchased possession. That's where we have that guarantee. That's why you can read the verses like Paul will say in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, when he says in verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Verse 10, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." That the verses all lay out the issue of showing how we have a guarantee of our salvation. We don't have to worry about those things. And this is what should be the motivation for us to be going out and proclaiming this message, sharing it with other people, so that way they can be part of this hope that the Apostle Paul shares with us is for us today. Because mankind really needs the hope of what God's Word actually has for us today. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to watch our Sunday service and Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. And always, if you don't happen to catch us live, you can go on to Facebook and see the messages on there as well. If you happen to be in the Buffalo area on Sunday mornings, we meet at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York, at the Holiday Inn Express at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you join us and study God's Word and have that time of fellowship with the members of the body of Christ. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything in our website, we'd love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.